I'm more trouble than I'm worth. Oh, me. I ought to tell people about my pick. Be careful of my pick on my guitar, because it knows everything I know. Life is like a mountain railroad with an engineer that's brave. We must make the run successful from the cradle to the grave. What's the course? The fields of tunnel never falter, never quail. Keep your hand up on the throttle and your eye up on the rail. Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us till we reach that dreadful shore where the angels wait to hold us, join us in that land forevermore. You will roll of graves of trial. You will crawl the bridge of strife. Been there. See that Christ is your conductor on that lightning train of life. Always mindful and construction, do not and never fail. Do your duty never fail. Keep your eye up on the throttle and your eye up on the rail. We're going to do the next verse. You will often find obstruction. Look for and winds and train on the field, the curve, the trestle. They will almost ditch your train. Put your alone in Jesus. Trust alone. Never falter, never fail. Keep your eye up, again, up on the throttle, and your eye up on the rail. Next verse. As you roll across the trestle, spanning Jordan's swirly tribe, you, the Union Station, into which the train will glide. There you'll meet the superintendent. I don't like this part. God the Father, Son, and with the heavy joy is plodding, weary pilgrim, welcome home. Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us till we reach that blissful shore where the angel will do join us in thy praise forevermore. I want to do one more little thing right here. I know the brother's in a hurry to get home. I'm sure these people know this. Papa God, sing with me. You saved me for my old life. You forgave me. You cleansed and made me true. You trust my life. Mm. Papa God. One more time now. Sing out. Papa God, you saved me for my old life. You forgave me. You cleansed and made me whole. You cleansed my heart. You changed my soul. For this I need you so, Papa God. Oh my. He is Papa.
Yes.
Abba Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Gotta get my third leg here. If y'all fool with a YouTube or anything like that, they got a song on there. I get it. I'm trying to take that. What's the name of it? Well, forget I even mentioned it.
Praise the Lord.
Love letters in the sky.
Amen.
Pull it up and listen to it. It's a blessing.
Praise God. Thank you, Brother Dick. Give the Lord a clap of praise. Amen. Appreciate that. Well, Larry, you want to come help us take up our offering? Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's just stand to our feet, and we're going to have Brother Chris come out. We'll sing Open the Eyes of My Heart. How many are ready for the word?
Amen.
Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. I lift it up. The light of your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. I lift it up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing.
Bless you. Thank you, musicians. That was wonderful. Thank you, Brother Dick. Appreciated that. Amen. Can we get right into it? I'm not in a hurry, but I am going to have to leave after service. So if I could get right into the next phase of this morning's message, we will. 1 John chapter 1. I'm just going to read verse 5. It says an awful lot in verse 5. It tells us about the message of the hour that we believe, whether you see it there or not. And when you have it, say amen. 1 John, the Epistle of John, chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light.
Amen.
And in him is no darkness at all. Let's pray. Father, Lord, if we could just comprehend, Lord, those few words, Father, we would understand the message. We would be the hearers of it, Lord, and then the manifestation of it, Father. So we're thankful for these few words that you've left for us, Lord. We ask, Father, that you would bring them from the throne that's in our hearts, Lord, to the revelation of Jesus Christ, Father, which we believe. For your honor and your glory, in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Now, brothers and sisters, again, I apologize for being so cut up, but there's so much going on, and I'm no theologian. I'm just a man who meditates on God's word day and night, and it begins to take an effect on me. And then, of course, as time goes on, let me read something to you. This just to help out a little bit. Now, I've read this under many contexts, but today's context will be just fine. Because, of course, there is this contention that we can't do anything without Brother Branham. There's a contention of that. Now, I do not believe that. Okay. And I'm not impugning Brother Branham.
Right.
If you were to ask me personally from a humanity standpoint about Brother Branham himself, who I never met. I do have family members who, after I got to know who Brother Branham was, I found out that my grandfather and grandmother had met Brother Branham in Hot Springs, Arkansas. If you were to say, well, who would you consider to be the top five men that walk the face of the earth? Well, I'd have to put Brother Branham in at least the top five, if not the top three. But he's not number one.
Right.
He can't be number one.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is number one.
Amen.
And he wouldn't want us to put him
right.
as number one. But not to impugn that, see, but I want to shed some light. Okay? God is light. I want to shed some light on some things that were left to us from the prophet. I don't remember, brothers, if I give you this, but I'm going to, because I've got written down Church Ages, page 138 and 9. I would have to say it would be the Revelation of Jesus Christ, big, thick, red volume series, probably where I got this from, because I can tell this is not polished up. Nothing wrong with the exposition now. I'm not impugning that. But listen to what he says. It was not give to Martin Luther the light that's on the word today. Neither was it give to John Wesley. John Wesley preached sanctification that Luther passed over. And the light comes as we have need of light. God says it. And it isn't opened up to us because it's hid to our eyes. That's not the end of the sentence. Until the day that God's able to reveal it. Now, this is the way God made me. I read that. I'm going to keep reading, but I read that and I go, wait a minute. God can do anything. How can it be stated that this is hid to our eyes until the day that God's able to reveal it? He can do it anytime he wants. But in his plan, he set forth a pattern of the way that light was going to become, come through its phases, if I could say. Brother Branham talked to us about it. We know this, that there is a spring sunshine, there is a summer sunshine, and there is a fall sunshine. One brings forth the life out of the seed and the little sprig of grass, and one becomes a very hot sunshine through the summertime, which in many cases could kill that little sprig of grass. But God made it so that it could withstand that sunlight of the summer. And then we have the sunlight of fall, of harvest. Right? Guess what? It's all the same sun. It's not a different sun. There's not a bunch of different lights. It's one light that God has ordained to shine in such a way. You see, he made it so that the sun of the fall was able to bring forth the harvest, not the sun of the spring.
Right, right.
But it's the same sun.
Right.
We're walking in the same light.
Right.
And I mean, here's the things that come to me. I'll just be myself. In the evening time, it shall be light.
Amen.
It's not a different light than came in the morning.
Right.
All right. So he says, it's hid to our eyes until the day that God's able to reveal it. Wonder what it'll be after we leave. That's Brother Branham saying this. I wonder what it'll be after we leave. Yeah. I am persuaded that there's very, very much more that we know nothing about. That's the words of the prophets. I didn't make that up. Because Brother Branham was sent here for a season. And we understand that he tells us in the spoken word as the original seed that the message was to sow. Is that right? It was a sowing rain.
Amen.
All right? I believe God also used him for the harvest rain, but it was before the sun was able to reveal it.
Come on,
right. It was born out of due season. But then the season will come when those seeds that were planted by that sowing would come into position so that the sun, the light of God, if you understand me, would be able to bring forth that crop. Brothers and sisters, we are that crop.
Amen.
I don't know if you realize that or not, but we are that crop. It is the time.
Amen.
The sun has moved across the arc of the sky to come to the place where the seeds that were sown are now ready to be harvested. There is a problem, the Bible says. The harvest is great, and the laborers are few. Everybody wants to reap the benefits of the promises of the Word of God, but many, many, many people don't want to do anything about it.
Come on.
Are you with me?
Amen.
All right. But we're going to try to, by God's grace, bring a change to that if we could. Now, again, I do this for my own benefit so that I don't just get lost in the things that I'm preaching on because I have such a good time, as you can tell. But I'm going to finish what I wrote down this morning. Now, the devil would like to keep us thinking. Let me back up. So let's take a look at our adversary. We need to be able to discern who that is, our adversary. Remember that the two spirits would be so close. It's a spirit. That reminds me. Remember when the big man was going to take Brother Branham off the platform in Portland, Oregon, I believe? Do you remember there were policemen and they were going to step out and try to... And Brother Branham said, leave him alone. This is not a flesh and blood affair. I want to reemphasize, this is not a flesh and blood affair. And as long as people make it a flesh and blood affair, they cannot produce the manifestation of the purpose of God. There's one thing that the devil did in the beginning that kept a commandment or a mandate of God from taking place in our lives, and it's affected us ever since. Okay? Bear with me. It's not a flesh and blood. Now, the devil would like to keep us thinking and believing that it is a flesh and blood affair. But it's the very thing that that Satan did that got Eve to take her eyes off of the promise of God, and he tripped her up. He caused her to doubt. And once she reasoned that the serpent could be correct, because he was speaking to her.
Right.
Now, how did the serpent approach her? With a pitchfork?
No.
With forked hooves? Horns? Here, the serpent approached Eve with the word of God. Hath God not said? You got to watch that devil, though. There's that word not again. Hath God? How come he just didn't say? Didn't God say? But hath God not said? And when that was presented into the sentence, it was a question. Think about it. Hath God not said? It was the opening for reason. Now I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, this same tactic is used today. The devil hasn't changed. You know why he hasn't changed? Because he read in Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is not a creator. He's only a perverter of those things that he can get his hands on. So he has to use God's word in order to get anywhere. But what he does is he misrepresents the placing of God's word, the positioning of God's word, especially to the believer. You still bearing with me? All right? So, she began to reason that the serpent could be, I want you to notice how I worded this, could be correct. Then her eyes were opened and she saw that the tree was good for food. Now remember, brothers and sisters, I want you to remember something. This is not flesh and blood. It was not a literal tree growing fruit. You all know that. I don't have to go into that. Okay? It was something that represented something else. We know that. Not here to preach on that. But what I wanted to say was the deception of Satan is all for one purpose. And that is to prevent something from happening. Well, there's a lot of things going on. But he's trying to prevent one thing from happening. Okay? The commandment or the mandate from the Word of God that was given to manifest his children. Listen to how close this is. How did the serpent trip up humanity through Eve? By children. See how close it is? He's so sharp that he looks into God's word and he says, "Ah, I got it. I figured out the promise of God, and all I've got to do to be God is introduce my seed into the lineage of God. And then I'll have children that God won't have, and they'll worship me and not God." Woo! That's close. All the time. You know, I can use this word. He's a dummy. What he didn't realize, he was playing right into the hands of God's plan. Because God is the one who allowed the breach or the weakness to be available for the devil to use. Without God allowing it, he couldn't do a thing. But God allowed it so that he could express his attributes. The reason that I preach on these things is so that we need to understand, brothers and sisters, that it's coming back. Not just to the beginning, but just before the beginning. You see, I contend that there was a line drawn, an invisible line, that Eve was behind. Who was that line? I'm going to tell you something. It was the Word of God in the form of Adam. She should have stayed behind her head. She got out of her position. She did not keep her post of duty. She decided to step out from behind it. Therefore, she had to cross an unseen line that left her vulnerable to the wiles of the enemy. The message of the hour that you and I believe was given to us in this hour to a certain group of people who come to a revelation of being able to step back behind that line and fulfill God's word in its totality without the serpent seed. We will not accept the lie of the devil. We will not accept reasoning as our way of viewing God's word. There's a line drawn right there. And we're going to step back behind it. And it's going to be as if the world never fell into the hands of the enemy. You see, that's the reason why Satan has done what he's done, is because he's trying to keep you and I from becoming the fulfillment of Romans 8, the manifestation of the sons of God.
Amen.
The whole world, the Bible says, is waiting, groaning, crying for that day of sweet release. The whole world. Can you imagine what you hold in your hands? Can you imagine this afternoon what kind of authority God has given you? But that authority that's been given you is just like he tested Brother Branham, as I mentioned this morning. What will you do with them? They're in your hands. Now, I realize that because we're humans and we have psychological emotions and so forth, many of us will stop when I say that and think, well, gee, so do we let everybody off the hook? You don't have to worry about who's on the hook and who's off of it. All we're asked to do is become the fulfillment and the completion and the maturity of the promises of God, and those for our hour. Now, Martin Luther didn't have the light. John Wesley did, but in our hour, it is the seed coming back to itself. Do you realize that? Let me read something. I know I gave this to you, brothers. It's Uniting the Unveiling of God. Listen careful. I forget the paragraph. He, Christ, is the Word. How? See, Christ is the Word, and when we're in the Word, we're in Christ. And how can I be in Christ denying Christ? We're invited into Him, which is hid to unbelievers. There's that knock on the door, Brother Dick. We're invited into Him, which is hid to unbelievers by the veil of human flesh. See, they know that glory. He's talking about who it's hid to. They know that glory. They read of it. I'm stopping for a reason. They read of it. That's what we're all doing.
Amen.
It's in the word here of the glory of God. And things like that, it's just, listen careful. What does he say? It's just a word to them.
That's right. Amen.
Exactly. See, brothers and sisters, I'm not opposed to what we have in front of us in the form of literature. Don't get me wrong. But over the period of years and time that people have been following this, it's just become a word to them.
Amen.
It's time to take this word that's been a word to us also and manifest it.
Amen.
He says, to us, it's a manifestation. See, it's no more a word. It's a reality.
Amen.
Now, that answers the question of why reality television is so popular. Serious. Because it's now time for God able to reveal this, and Satan doesn't lay down. He follows the format of God. So we see television shows popping up. They call them reality shows. You know, the housewives of this. and the lost of that. And the pioneers of this and the gold rush of that and on and on and on and on and on and on. What is it? It's to draw away the real intention of God's word. That is not a reality to me. It's a falsehood. Think about it. It's scripted. How can somebody be lost on an island and naked with a camera crew following them? That's right. I mean, come on. But did you know, brothers and sisters, that those shows are so popular because the people in the world today think, oh, wow. What about us? You see, that's just a perversion of the reality of God. God wants us not to become a reality television show. God wants us to become the reality of His Word.
That's right.
Woo! I just got a chill on that one. To us, it's a manifestation. See, it's no more a word. It's a reality. Amen. God said, let there be light. That was the word, but now there is light. It ain't the word, it's the light. See what I mean? Now, it isn't just a written word to us. It's a reality. Brothers and sisters, that's what carries the elect past everybody else. I like to say it like this, and forgive me if it's not something I say to demean or belittle anybody, but for the church, salvation is the end result. And doesn't that sound good? Come on.
No, not really.
But for the bride of Christ, it's just the first step.
Right? That's right.
Salvation becomes the first stepping stone for the bride of Christ to become the manifestation of salvation, not just a word that you can feel good about. Think about it. Because you and I run into folks all the time that believe they're just as saved as we are, and guess what? They very well could be. But when you begin to present the word to them in such a light,
that's right,
that it becomes the man. That's why God used Brother Branham. All of the signs, wonders, and miracles of the ministry of William Branham for one purpose. Did you realize that? Brother Branham called them the bait on the hook.
Right.
All of the signs, wonders, and miracles were emphatic, unprecedented. You understand what I'm saying? Vindicated. How could anybody in their right mind that really believed that Brother Branham was the vessel God used and then say he's a false prophet? How could anybody see the picture of the pillar of fire? And I want you to understand, I'm not raising up Brother Branham. I'm raising up the pillar of fire. It's the difference maker. It's the same pillar of fire that you and I desire to have living in our heart.
Right.
Isn't that right?
Right.
That pillar of fire is just like the fishes and the loaves. On the day of Pentecost, it broke itself off and it kept handing itself out and it never diminished.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, there was lots of leftovers. And he put them in a hiding place so they could be shared in the day we live in. Not just 2,000 years ago. That same pillar of fire is here right now. That same pillar of fire is what should be living in our hearts. And it is the light of God. God is light. This is the message, he said. Okay? Now you say, well, wow, brother, there's 1,100 or 1,200 different messages that we can, and there's 66 books. That's right. But in order for any of us to be able to see with a spiritual eye what's in here, it's going to take that light.
Amen.
A flashlight won't do it. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to read it because I'm having a good time. And I'm not in a hurry, but yes. We have a plane to catch. Now, he might hold it on the ground. I hope you can tell I'm having a good time, because I am. But I have to put things down on paper or I'll be up here for days. The commandment or the mandate from the Word of God is given to manifest as the children, sons and daughters of God. These words spoken by God that would allow this to happen, Genesis 1:28, I wrote down. So let's go there. I'm gonna do Genesis chapter 1, 1 through 3, too. Genesis 1, verses 26 through 28, read like this. Everybody knows them. And God, wait a minute. Let me be able to kind of help you see what I see. And God saw.
Yeah.
That ain't what it says.
That's right.
And God said. Right. Now, in your own Bible, I want you to understand something, that the very first thing that happened was not light. Oh, right away, the mental capacity. Wait a minute, brother. God said, let there be light, and there was light. I can read that in Genesis 1:3. But you're overlooking something. Before there was light, there was sound. And God said, that is the original seed. The light that came into existence from God speaking became the manifestation of what he said. And God said, let there be light. He didn't have to check over his shoulders, I said this morning, to kind of wonder if it was going to happen. But did you know the prophet of God taught us something? He said that God had to have faith in his own word, so much so that it's what brought it to pass. Because that's a law that he instituted for you and I. If we take God at his word, it does not matter what these eyes see. That's why Jesus, when Nicodemus came and said, born again? Come on, how can I enter again? You see where he's coming from? How can I intellectually enter into my mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus said, well, you think you hear the sound of the wind, but you don't know where it came from, and you have no idea where it's going. But the children of God hear the sound. And they're not looking with these eyes for the physical manifestation of it. They're looking for the spiritual manifestation of it. It is not a flesh and blood affair. 1 Corinthians 15:50, I believe, says flesh and blood cannot inherit.
Amen.
So the inheritance that you and I are, that the devil's fighting us over in this conflict, is not flesh and blood.
Right.
It's something much greater than that. It's a promise of God.
Right.
Did you realize that we are in a conflict over the promises of God? Not over what we see, taste, feel, smell, or hear. But I'll tell you what, see, taste, feel, smell, and hear is a result of. God said. And God said, let there be light. So in the scripture, it even tells us that the first thing that happened when God decided to begin this, of course it says, and God created the heavens and the earth, period. Is that right? We don't know how long that took. But when he began to want to implement his plan, and God said, let there be light. Is that right? Listen to what the prophet says here, if I can find it real quick. In God's word calls for a total separation of unbelief. God was going to use the earth. I didn't know it for the first 21 and a half years, but God was going to use the earth. Listen now, and it was in total darkness.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, that was my life. It was in total darkness. But because God was going to use, listen now, he was going to use the earth, and it was in total darkness, the Spirit of God spoke out and said, let there be light. Listen now. And he separated the light from the darkness. Oh, this is the reason I read this whole thing. And it's been doing that ever since. God's word has been using light, which is the manifestation of his word, to separate it from the darkness. That's the reason why the denominational men and the men of high intellect and the PhDs and the LLDs and the so forth and the so on looked at Brother Branham and said, Dr. Davis said, you're going to pray for kings and potentates, and come on, get next to yourself, Billy. It's the same thing the devil's telling us right now. He's not going to use you. He's going to use the prophet. See where that comes from? See where that comes from? Oh, we're going to wait for the prophet to come back.
Oh, Lord.
Well, I'll tell you what the prophet said. When they say I'm dead and gone, don't you believe it. That's his words.
Amen.
Because this message is not about just one man unless it's Christ Jesus. It's about the body of Christ, which William Branham is a part of.
Amen.
I understand that he was a very critical part of it.
Right.
I mean, your body, we're all sitting here. You let me take your brain out. You're still a body. But you ain't doing much. You understand? I want you to see that, see. Because the devil is trying to accomplish something by keeping you and me. Listen, brothers and sisters, he didn't keep Brother Branham from doing his part. Did he? He didn't keep Jesus Christ from doing his part. He thought, crucify him. Jesus, because he was in the mind of God before, he was the mind of God before the foundation of the world. And he didn't bypass his theophany. He understood, you know what? This is going to be really cruel and really hard. And it's going to hurt a lot. It's going to be the most ugliest, worst thing that could happen to a human being, but not my will. Mine be done, Lord. And he walked to Calvary and he hung on that cross knowing that he did his part. How do we know that? Because he bowed his head and he said, it is finished. He did his part. But he did it for one reason. It tells us in St. John 12 that a corn of wheat abideth alone. Lest it fall into the ground and die. If it fall into the ground and die, then it'll bring forth much fruit. Now, here's the key to fruit. It's not just the succulent, sweet, juicy, flavorful, colorful part of it that matters. It's carrying the next seed. It's carrying the next seed. And what is the seed that you and I realize is essential? Let me ask you this. What is the original seed? The spoken word. That's why I'm emphasizing, and God said, let there be light. So it wasn't the light that we should be focusing on. It was what he said. Because that's the original seed. Now, what else does the Bible say? And I'm cutting out a lot of my message. It says every seed. You see in Genesis 1, 26, 7, and 8, which I was going to read, but for the sake of time, you know it. You can read it. Verse 28 says, be fruitful and multiply. And right there, Satan knew if I could get into the serpent and I could get Eve out from behind her post of duty, which was to stand behind the word, which was Adam at the time, a son of God. Brother Branham tells us in the spoken word is the original seed that Adam hadn't come to the revelation or the realization or the knowledge yet of how he was going to fulfill Genesis 1:28, but it was in him. He just hadn't come to how it was going to happen.
Right.
That's in spoken word as the original seed. If you want to listen and read it, it's 6 hours long, so it'll take you some time. But it's good. It's good for you. The spoken word is the original seed. Is that right?
Amen.
I mean, we all know that. I just ask so that you can confirm to yourself. Let me tell you folks something. God's foreknowledge knew that Abraham was going to take Isaac up on top of the mountain.
Right.
God's foreknowledge knew that Abraham was going to plunge the knife.
Right. Abraham.
So then all of that was not for God.
Right.
It was for Abraham.
Amen.
It was so Abraham would realize, I'm going to do this no matter what. Stop right there, Abraham. I knew you were going to do it. But I wanted you to know you were going to do it. When God was looking for Adam in the Garden of Eden, Adam, this is the omniscient, omnipotent God. He wasn't, look, Adam, where you at? I'm going to tell you what he was asking Adam. Adam, do you know where you're at?
That's right.
You know, we got that in the 60s, didn't we? In the 70s. Where you at, man? Where you coming from? You know, it didn't mean the address. It meant, like, what's going on? What's going on inside of you? Oh, and when Adam heard that, he said, oh, I got to hide from the Lord. The Lord knew where he was at.
Amen.
But he wanted Adam to respond. You see, God understood his own word. He understood that what happened there in the garden was a hybridization of his word. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, Satan knows what he's doing. He's sharp. But greater is he that is in us, in me, than he that is in the world. Is that right? I believe that. Believe that with all my heart. So watch how sharp the devil is. Now, you may not think I'm preaching straight up, but the spoken word is the original seed. I believe that with all my heart. In order for the spoken word to fulfill Genesis 1:28, replenish and multiply, what do you have to have? A spoken word. You see, and that hadn't been given, that revelation hadn't been given to Adam, even though it was in him in a seed form. It was in there, but it hadn't come forth yet. How should I explain that to you? Has anybody ever read in here that Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh as the Son of God, St. John 1:14, did not know the seventh seal? That's what the prophet said. And I never questioned that. I would just say, Lord, that's you. That's you in a body of flesh. How do you not know your own seventh seal? And he said, son, you have to understand that the body that I was using that you called Jesus was a man. But he was born a virgin birth. See what I'm saying? God's egg, God's seed, planted in the womb of a church that we call Mary. Okay? No sensation. Brother Branham taught us that. I can see it. No sensation. Why? Because brothers and sisters, when you give your heart to the Lord, you don't know it, but God's putting a seed and an egg in there. What just happened? And you find yourself wandering around saying, be it unto me, according to thy word, be it unto me, according to thy word. That's God beginning to plant what Eve refused to accept through reason. What she did was she took a seed. You see how sharp the devil is? He began to preach to her like this, brother. Listen here, gal. You all have a problem. You and Adam are not manifesting God's word.
That's right.
You see how slick he is?
Yeah.
And don't tell me he's not telling you and me that. You are not manifesting God's word that you can read about that's for the age you live in. You're not manifesting it. What's the matter with you? I got a plan, he says. I want you to look at my crop. Remember, the serpent was a beast. He was of the animal kingdom. And previous to Genesis 1:28, they were already replenishing and multiplying. So he knew what he was doing. He had a knowledge of the principles of life were taught, right? So he knew what he was doing. He says, hey, gal, tell you what. I've been producing the manifestation of the promises of God all along. And look at you. You're barren. What's the matter with that husband of yours? That's, it's the devil's tactic. What's the matter with that word you believe? Nothing. But we're putting it all back on God. God's wanting us to take it in the form that He gave it to replenish and multiply, which is the spoken word. It's the very reason why we believe the message, because it's the corn of wheat. But guess what? The corn of wheat abideth alone. That's why a lot of people see, the denominations see Christ by Himself. And the message followers see William Branham. All by Himself. Oh no, a corn of wheat abideth alone. It'll stay just like that unless it dies, falls into your heart. When that seed goes into your heart and dies, it no longer abides alone. It has become the fulfillment of replenish and multiply. Here's the reason why the devil is trying to keep the fivefold ministry from manifesting itself. Because it is the mouthpiece that God uses. Now, not any of us men can say, I'm a fivefold minister, so I'm going to just write my name in there. God hath placed some. So that was God's doing, not man's doing. But when God places something, I'm going to tell you what, there's a price to pay if you get off track. Brother Branham paid with his first wife and his first daughter. Brother Branham nearly paid with his life when he went to South Africa and began to listen to those men who were using the same reasoning that the serpent used on Eve. Oh, come on. God talks to us too. Remember that? That's exactly what those men told Brother Branham. God talks to us too. Who do you think you are? Brother Branham should have said, well, you're Dathan and Korah. And he should have got his thumb out, and started hitchhiking back to Johannesburg. But he didn't. He let those men talk him in to going to the next destination. And he nearly gave his life. He had some kind of an amoeba bug that eats you from the inside out. Remember? He's a really good modern day example for you and me. You're not, I'm not, we're not getting away with nothing. Nothing. If there's a price to pay, brothers and sisters, we're paying it. But guess what happens with the attributes of God? Willingly. Not my will, Lord, but thine be done. If that's what it takes, I'll do it. Why? Because there's something down on the inside of us in the form of a seed of God that says, I can lay this body down. I'm quoting your Brother Branham now. He says this is in us. I can lay this body down. And it'll raise up again. Now, notice how I said that. I didn't say I would raise it up again. I can lay this body down. And if the same spirit be in you that was in Christ, He will raise you from the dead. Is that right? So the spoken word being the original seed and Satan getting in there and beginning to interfere with the process of God. I think Brother Branham's wife called it a hickey. Not the black mark on your neck. I used to bend rebar. There you go. And that little machine that you put the bar in and you pull the handle and you get the angle on the bar is called a hickey. We used to laugh when I was a little kid. My dad said, go get the hickey, son, bend some rebar. But I didn't know where that came from. A little hickey in the promise of God is what caused all this to happen. And the reason I'm preaching on it, brothers and sisters, is not because we don't know that. It's because somebody's going to have to take the thing and bend it back to its original position in God's Word. Then that becomes the original seed that can produce after its kind. That's the reason why Satan's trying to keep the fivefold ministry under wraps. Because they are the ones that God gave the authority to. Not them. You got to realize the men don't look at themselves that way. They're just a vessel, a tool being used to speak. What are they speaking? The original seed. We're using the message and the Bible as our basis for our speech. And God said, we're all looking for the light. That's the manifestation of what he said. It's not a natural light. It's a supernatural light. It's a light that can only be produced by staying with the Word. That's the only way that God is going to vindicate you and I. Remember what the prophet challenged everybody with? Listen now, fellas, ladies and gentlemen. He said, would God vindicate a ministry that was false? He said, far be it from God. That's why I can challenge you, he said, that anything I told you, that's thus saith the Lord. Has anybody ever seen it miss? Has anybody ever seen it fail? Has it ever gone wrong? No. Nobody ever challenged Brother Branham. The 300 ministers in Chicago thought they were gonna. And then Brother Branham said they had more sense than I thought they had. Because he called them up there, bring your Bibles up here and us. But he said in another place that they knew that the angel of the Lord was standing right there. They weren't willing to go up against the angel of the Lord. They were willing to go up against William Marion Branham, a man with an eighth grade education that didn't haint, fetch, tote, pulpit. Remember what they picked on him for? How could you? Brothers and sisters, can I ask you personally, isn't that the same question the devil is posing to you? And I, come on. Come on, your life is a mess and this and that. And none of, if you believe God's word, and every word of God, it doesn't make a lick of difference what the devil does with your natural life. You see, it's not flesh and blood. But that's not carte blanche for us to make grace into disgrace. That's not carte blanche for us to become legalists or fundamentalists either. What it is it's the grace of God that comes into your life, and you won't look to the right or to the left. You'll just keep following the pattern of God until you become the manifestation of a son or a daughter of God. Because eventually the serpent talked Eve into partaking of another line to be injected, and that caused a chasm in between Adam and Eve and the promise of God that they were to fulfill. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to finish with this. Here we are this afternoon. God has given you and I the spoken word. Amen. That is the original seed. Amen. That seed must bring forth after its kind. Are you with me? Now, I'll finish it with this. How is that so, Brother Chris? What are you talking about? I'm talking about if you say. If you say. That's the end result for the believer today. If you say to this mountain, if you say, it'll happen. And Brother Branham was given to you and I as an example. What are you doing, Brother Branham? What are you doing out here in the woods, my son? Well, I'm squirrel hunting. Hadn't seen one all day. What do you need? He's scratching his head. See, he hasn't caught on yet. Now, what are you doing? I mean, he kept repeating, what are you doing? I'm squirrel hunting. What do you need? A couple of times, he caught it. Oh, I need squirrels. Well then, say it. Did you realize that all that was to you and I was a preview? Did you realize, brothers and sisters, that the same God that used the prophet to bring squirrels into existence, stop the storm, speak the goiter out of his wife, give Hattie Wright whatever she wanted, it's the same God right here today. Amen. Now, when are we going to stop letting Satan, an angel of light, that's what it says in Corinthians. And his ministry comes across the same way. It says that. His ministers are also lights. When are we going to stop paying paying attention to the light and begin to speak.
Amen.
And God said,
amen.
I'm gonna stop with this. I've had 4 or 5 dreams in my 41 years of serving the Lord with Brother Branham in them. That doesn't mean I'm spiritual. That doesn't even mean they have any validity. But I'll tell you one I did have. Makes perfect sense to me today. In this dream, I come out of the forest and I'm looking at an open grassy field. For those of age, I'll mention Woodstock. With a big platform built at the end of this field. Okay? And there was chairs set up. Thousands of chairs, folding chairs set up, nice rows, big platform with a back and a little top to it and a microphone stand. And I'm thinking, wow, this is going to be some meeting. And I'm way in the back and there must be 100 rows of chairs. And way up in the front, nobody's there yet, I see 3 men standing at the front row of the chairs. And one of those men kind of angled towards me where I'm looking, has his leg up like this and he's leaning on it like this. And he's talking to these 2 other men. So I'm coming up from this part of this dream. And as I get close, I realize that's Brother Branham. And he's talking to those 2 men. I don't know who those 2 men were, but he was doing just like this. And as I started to walk up, he must have heard me or sensed me. And he looked and he just nodded his head and he kept talking. So I just stopped right there and I heard him say this to these 2 men. Brothers, I must decrease. I'll tell you why, brothers. Because the ministry that God has given me, and this is Brother Branham talking, not me. The ministry that God has given me has produced too much light. And it's blinding the eyes of many of the people that are following me, so I must decrease. It made perfect sense to me, Brother Dick. Because we've begun, you know, you they think he's Jesus Christ. They're still the same. You remember the little serpent? And the message, the bruised serpent? Brother Branham was going to kill that serpent, wasn't he? And he was interrupted by a minister who said, here, Brother Branham, do it this way. Remember? Go back and read it. And when he turned, that serpent crawled into a little puddle of water. What is water? People's. So while I believe that serpent was mortally wounded, that's the term Brother Branham used, it wasn't fatal yet. Did you know there's a difference? Mortally wounded means it's a wound unto death. But it could be like the guy that went to the pool of Siloam. It might be 37 years or 50 or 60 years before it finally takes you down. Fatally would be different. Dead. Did you know that that little bitty snake has raised its ugly head up again? But I say it like this. Brother Branham said, you can shoot over the target, you can shoot under it, you can shoot to the right or you can shoot to the left. Or you can hit the bullseye. And the gun factory said, that gun wasn't made to shoot that little group. Don't you remember Brother Branham and his rifle? And he got so frustrated. Oh, my right! I've shot the eyes out of squirrels at 50 yards. Now it won't group within 10 inches. The factory tells him, come on, man. That gun wasn't made. Remember, that gun wasn't made to shoot that tight of a group. And Brother Branham said, I own the gun. I've shot eyes out of squirrels. I know this gun can hit the target every time. But you know what people are doing today, brothers and sisters? They got the same gun, but they're moving the target to wherever the bullet will go. They're not hitting the bullseye. That's what God has called you and me to do. To stand on His word in such a way where when that gun goes off, remember there's a lot of shells that didn't fire. Put it in the gun, click. Put it in the gun, click. Put it in the gun, never forget to aim. Because one day that gun is going to go off. And you want it to be pointing at the bullseye. Please stand. God is so good. As you're standing, I'm going to read this to you. It's just a paragraph out of, Is This the Sign of the End, Sirs? Don't worry, brothers. Paragraph 204. I want you to listen to what Brother Bram says. First, a blast. Now, you might not think this is significant, but I want you to pay attention. First, a blast. And God said. That was a sound, right? First, a blast. And I thought it sounded like a sound barrier, ever what you call it, when planes cross the sound and the sound comes back to the earth. It just shook, like roared, everything. Then it could have been a great clap of thunder and lightning like. Listen to what Brother Bram says. I didn't see the lightning. I'm just reading what he said. I didn't see the lightning. I just heard that great blast that went forth. That's right, Brother Dick. Brothers and sisters, we've got to stop using our natural eyes to look for the manifestation of the sons of God. And we've got to begin to realize that it's God said. And I'm not taking away from any kind of movement of shouting and dancing and falling out in the spirit and praying for the sick and having prayer. I'm not taking away from that. Paul said, let's go on to perfection in Hebrews 6. This will we do if God permit.
Amen.
When God permits it, we do it. But let's go on to perfection. What is that? Bringing forth after his kind. And that is the spoken word. You love him?
Amen.
Amen. If the musicians would come. He's so good to us.
Amen.
Let me tell you, he surely is. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, if you would, sis. Whatever key that's in, I'll sing it. God bless you. Thank you for putting up with me. Appreciate you.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, oh, with thanksgiving.
Yeah, Lord,
I'll be a sanctuary for you. Oh, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary.
Sanctuary.
Let's give our brother another hand. Appreciate him coming out. He's got a long trip back. Dad and Wade are traveling. Sister Milka called last night and said she's gone to Japan. She's just coming to leave and go to Japan. So remember her as she travels. There's other people, I'm sure, that's traveling. And a lot of people will be traveling next week because of the holidays. So let's just, when we dismiss, we'll pray for everybody that will be traveling. And I think I'm going to ask Brother Dick if he'll dismiss us in a word of prayer.
Yes, Lord. We thank you for this day we live in. We honor you and glory you and lift you up. To start with, we pray for these that are traveling.
Right.
We pray for Brother Chris here that's going to be traveling.
Right.
And Lord, if you see him home safe.
Yes.
Father, we thank you for all these people. I'd say all over this world, this globe we live in, it's called my name because I know it's a prayer of the saints
that's
got me this far.
Right.
We praise you, honor you, lift you up, and glorify you. And be with us and guide us as we go home. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray and for his sake. Amen and amen and amen.
Teaching service.
I'm sorry, that's right. You're dismissed. Remember, we got.